to The Blurs, a Black Nerds with the Word. This is a podcast where us blurs discuss comics, manga, anime, movies, and much more happening in pop culture. This is one of your hosts, Marcus Andre. With me, I have...
This your boy, Drew. What's good? Coming live at Waldorf, Maryland. Double D, Dirty Dorf, whichever you want to call it. But I'm here, episode 19. I'm ready. Let's get it.
What's up, y'all? Episode 19, I'm hyped. Coming from Kilakaua County. You already know how we do out here. Stay turned. Let's get it.
All right, big homie Kenny out here in Murder Moco. Kicking it. It's a good Friday. Birdtober, we hitting the finale next week. Been real. We out here pumping them out. What's in the spooky specials? But yeah, that's it. I'm host Marcus.
All right. Let's get into news. So Jared Leto will return as the Joker for the third time in Zack Snyder's Justice League Snyder Cut version. In the process, Leto will break the record of playing the Joker in multiple films. So he'll
is the record two?
Yeah.
Two.
So okay. I don't like his Joker. But to be honest, I don't like the current DC universe films anyway. So I really don't care.
I didn't even know that they finalized him like being like Joker again. But
this is a Snyder cut, so it's a bunch of unreleased stuff that they keep pulling out. Yeah.
As long as it's the Snyder cut, I think it shouldn't do any that much harm. It's like because I loved
Heath Ledger?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh.
I loved his Joker, but his Joker doesn't fit the DC universe, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I think the way he portrayed Joker is like a standalone film, like what it is. So I'm not going to say he should be a DCU Joker, but I don't know if we want Jared Leto as one. So it's a good thing it's just a Snyder cut.
Which is like a 4-hour film, but we're you
take.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be too long. I don't know.
It's like the way it is supposed to have like each of their own characters playing their own part of the movie. So basically, it'll be like their own each individual movie that joins into the team movie and everything. Which I'm like, do we really do this? But I mean, people bash it for so long, so it's whatever.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't really
anybody else got news.
As far as news from me, some people I know from back in college, it's a new game, so. Unfortunately, right now during Corona, we can't really get together. But if you do have like a Zoom meetup or whatever with some people, I recommend a new game called Spill It. So basically, it's a new game. You can have food, drinks, whatever. And it's a bunch of question sets. So each question set, you can either take a decent amount or a bigger amount of drinks just to encourage conversation. It is risky. So it's like a little bit regular conversation to almost like Taboo After Dark. But I recommend it. If you want to play it, it's only $20 to cop. Yeah.
So it's like a board, not really a board game, but it's like a card. What is it? It's a card game.
Card game.
Okay.
Card. So you just pick up a card, you can encourage conversation, wait, like you can, what's saying, you can split up either, it's just all in one, or you can have like teams, but it's up to you.
Okay. Yeah. Card games is definitely the wave. I haven't seen a new board game in so long. Everybody just do Cards Against Humanity, all tapes and stuff like that. So.
Facts.
Man, not bad.
They went to Hampton and everything, so gotta support our black sisters and everything.
Oh, so they made it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying like they just played it or something.
Nah.
Okay, so they made it. Oh, wow, okay. Black business.
Yeah.
All right. I'll look it up.
All right, so let's get into books. Kenny, let's start with you.
All right, couple things as far as DC, nothing really too crazy, so I'm just going to skip over that. Marvel, they finished up the Age of Khonshu storyline in Avengers where Moon Knight was going crazy, taking over all the Avengers' powers. They finally beat him, got it back. So that's over, and X of Swords have progressed. We have so far for the X of Swords team, Wolverine, Storm, Apocalypse, Magik, Cypher. What's her name? The girl with the purple hair. You know what I'm talking about, Marcus?
Not Jubilee. What's her name? The one with the swords, right?
Yeah, like her what's name, because she's the new Excalibur, and her brother, they joined the team, so we only had three more people left to join, and that's before we head off to the little tournament. So that's it.
I know who you're talking about, but I forgot her name.
Yeah, it'll come to me later. But as far as manga side, a bunch of new releases this week. Dragon Ball Super, that storyline's coming to an end. Only thing is, I'm getting a little mad at it because they're recycling stuff that already happened in Dragon Ball Z. Like, literally, the whole end of the Cell storyline is happening again. As far as Goku's fighting the bad guy, he has the upper hand on the bad guy. Gives the bad guy a Senzu Bean. Bad guy wants to fight again, and then the Earth is literally in danger because the bad guy's about to blow up the Earth or the galaxy, etc. But yeah, they recycled that. And new Boruto, but I'm going to let Drew get onto that. And
yes, sir.
Ironically, new Berserk came out today as far as that storyline. Yeah. Only thing about Berserk, it started before our timeline. It started before how we were born. It will be finished after we are long gone because it takes hiatus. It's like it's breathing air.
2,000 years later.
And on top of that, releases, it's not like, oh, we're getting like a 100-page release. It's like a good, decent 20-page. So they'll take four months to 2 years off before they release another chapter. But yeah, that's how they do it.
So how long are their hiatuses? Like, do it be like years, or are you talking months? Which one?
Both. Like, okay, you'll sit here, like, okay, you get a chapter, like, once a month, that. Or we're going to hiatus for 3 months. Okay, you come back for a chapter. All right, we're not going to be back till next year fall. All right, come back. We're not coming back this year. We're going to come back the year after this. But yeah.
That would turn me off as a fan. Like that would make me just not want to read it at all anymore. Is it consistent like that? Yeah, I'm not. That would make me want
to. Started in the 80s and it's not finished till, like, what's name? It's not even finished till now. We're talking about like early 80s. Like, that's when the first part came out. That the second part came out like late 80s. And then here we are now in 2020.
See, that's that's that One Piece, bro.
No, that's not One Piece.
It is that One Piece.
No,
One Piece is not that. Hey, sometimes a story, I'm going to keep saying this. I don't care how many times I got slandered One Piece. Sometimes a story got to end, bro.
No.
It's okay. Giving
this a chance to know, like,
One Piece is at least pumping them out continuously. It's not their bad. Like, One Piece's flaw is that they keep going. They should have ended the story a little while ago. This story's flaw is that they should end the story a while ago, but they don't even have like the stuff to go, because like they're up to 362 as far as manga chapters.
One Piece ain't got no flaws.
Naruto or what's the name ended when it had Shippuden, and way far less than One Piece. But yeah,
I'll give you credit because One Piece is consistent. But I think they wrote themselves into a corner. That's what I think.
No, they didn't write it. It's all planned. It's really a complex story. And some people just don't understand the complexity of the storyline.
Mute your mic, bro.
This isn't just...
Mute your mic, bro.
Sure, this...
Mute your mic. You're done.
Man, get out. No, you don't. Because you know what? You said the One Piece too much, bro. You need to hop out of here with that.
All right. Anyways... All right. Go ahead, Drew. That's my fault, y'all. That's my fault. I got
it. It's all good. It's all good. Go ahead, Drew. Well, actually, you want to let Drew go? What's up, you?
Does Justin have anything else that
I mean? He read? I feel like what's saying about Justin? You got anything you reading?
I actually just picked up back on Boruto. I read the latest two chapters of it, so I was able to actually catch up on that. Boruto's really like it's really firing up for him. And I'm seriously ready for that time skip, honestly. Like, I'm really ready to see what Kawaki's gonna do and everything. And man, I'm gonna let Drew take it from here, honestly. Cause I don't know, like,
there's a lot to unpack.
Because you said you got a spoiler this week, and I kinda did also as well, but yeah,
I did too. But like, once after I read it, I was like, okay, this makes sense. But yeah, go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, there's really a lot to unpack with this joint. Well, first and foremost, when it dropped, it literally crashed the official website for the manga, Viz Media. It crashed the website, and they literally have, I think they have 1.2 million views right now for this single chapter alone. At 1.2, that's double of what Dragon Ball Super did. That's double what My Hero did. All of them. So there's that. Second, I'm not going to get into spoilers. I guess it's a spoiler. I'm not going to get into what actually happened in it, but I will say the information that we got that got dumped on us is very, very interesting, going back to Shippuden and what those Suskis are like, the God Tree, the Ten Tails, all that. And it's very interesting because in the first panel of the entire Boruto manga, Kodachi kind of was playing with us, saying that with the fight with Boruto and Kawaki, him saying, Kawaki said that he'll take Boruto to the same place he took the seventh. Alluding to he defeated Naruto in some way, killed him, sealed him away somewhere. So right now, Naruto and Sasuke and Boruto are fighting the strong Sosuke member right now. And it seems like this could be a death battle. But Kawaki got his seal took away from him, right? His karma seal. So I want to see how he eventually gets it back and how he eventually turns evil. But I think that's a huge point that can turn the anime. I don't know if it's going to happen in time skip or I think it should happen right immediately before the time skip. But that's a huge part that we're like, that's kind of what people get when they start a show, kind of like how kind of like the show that we're about to talk about now, where they start this first episode on a what led us here type of thing. And like, that's what we're getting in Boruto as well. Like, what made us get to this point? And right now, Naruto's power up that he got in this chapter is just amazing. But right now I'm scared of what this is going to lead to. I'm scared it's going to be on some Eighth Gate vibes. Yeah. So there's that. But the stuff that they gave us from the Osusuki, the information, it really makes me want to go back and watch the Kaguya arc in Shippuden, where she came down and ate the God Tree and all that stuff, because it's so much to unpack. I don't even think I even scratched the surface. So that's all I got right now.
No, I'm still trying to figure out how Kawaki does get his karma back, honestly. Like, because at this point, he's basically helpless, isn't he? But does he have a different power?
He's helpless, and Amado literally said that. He was like, are you mad that you can't help nobody, or are you mad that you're powerless? Which is kind of the same question, but the way Kawaki was looking, the way I could tell that they were kind of foreshadowing something, I think he's going to turn heel pretty soon. Or I don't know, man. There's so many questions in that thing. It's ridiculous.
My only, prediction? Either we get, like, what's the name? Ishiki's doing his thing and that gets to him, or Amado's working another angle. As far as, like,
that's a huge possibility.
He's right there next to him. They might pull off the miracle, beat that man, and that out of nowhere. Yeah, you won, bro. And then touch his hand at that. I don't know where he wakes up. Why is this back? But yeah.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
Before
I think a lot thing, of questions. Like,
No. Go ahead. You good.
Go. No, I was just saying, I think a lot of questions are going to be answered in like the next like couple chapters.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it better be, because there's too many questions. And I was going to say one more thing. Ishiki, he seems like the last villain, right? Like, he seems like the last villain at the very end of the show. But this is literally part one. So I'm trying to see, is he going to remain the main villain throughout the rest of the show? Said... Yeah, I was going to say, I want to know who else is going to be the main villains. Like, is she going to be defeated? What's that's like going to be like later on? But that's it.
Because, like, my thing is, we haven't got to even Code and all of them just still chilling there and everything. And I'm just like,
exactly.
I have a bunch of other people that we haven't seen what they got to do. Because my thing is, you got a bunch of Delta clones in the back still waiting. You got all this here. Cash is still alive. I mean,
like, where is he?
Like, we know there's going to be a part two, but it's just that, like, are we going to leave part one? Because, like, my thing is, when Naruto ended, the main thing was Sasuke had left the village. The Akatsuki are all out and about and everything, as far as like they're gaining the tail beasts and all that, going village to village. And that's like the main question, is like where we are going forward. Like this one, I mean, heck, we still have a lot of questions, because like before Naruto Shippuden, like was saying, we didn't have like, oh, Naruto in the future and all that. We at least see what's going to happen later on. We're just going to see.
Yeah, exactly. And the type of fight we're getting right now is literally like the last fight in like Shippuden, like that type of level of fighting. So what's going to happen later on is probably going to be on some planet level type, like Dragon Ball type fight. So I'm excited.
All right, so this week I finally finished Green Lantern Brightest Day. I did not know Green Lantern Brightest Day and Brightest Day were two different things. So
yeah,
I still enjoyed Green Lantern Brightest Day. So in this volume, let me do the creative team first. Written by J.F. Johns, of course, and penciled by Doug Mankey and Shane Davis. So after the events of Blackest Night, Green Lantern Hal Jordan must team up with members from other core colors to track the emotion spectrum entities. Krona, an ancient enemy of the universe's guardians, is hunting the entities to cleanse the world of unbalanced emotions, even though he is crazy himself. Jordan and his team of Lanterns must also extract the entities from the hosts they possess. The team members' innate differences in ideologies and the urge to not crush their enemies, who are now their temporary allies. This run is great as usual. I just thought it was kind of interesting how Krona is like another Judas. Not a Judas, but he's an interesting character because he really didn't do anything wrong. He just wanted to see the creation of the universe. He did it in the name of science and everything like that, and the guardians told him to not do that, don't explore, and he got punished for doing that. And by him seeing the creation of the universe, I think he created the anti-monitor, and he caused a whole lot of other shit, but he was just, you know, he just wanted to see what happened, you know. Kenny, you didn't talk about the reveal of Harry is
they still haven't revealed that. Like, what's the name? Like, they alluded to him, but they never said who Kindred is. They know it's Norman's son, but my thing is, like, is he a Harry clone? Is that him and Gwen Stacy's ill-gotten son that died? It's a lot of different questions, but nothing was revealed for that yet.
Okay, I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, yeah, it's Harry, but we don't know what kind of version of Harry it is.
Yeah, because, like, Harry's still alive in this universe with a whole kid and everything, but yeah.
Goddamn clones. Let's get to TV and shows.
So I didn't really watch that much different shows or that many different shows this week. Mainly, I saw, I'm almost finishing up Money Heist. It's really, really, really good. I have like four episodes left and there's four seasons of it. So yeah, people getting arrested, people getting shot, killed, all that stuff is crazy. Yeah, so if you're into big brain shows like Mind Games and all that, and money, so I would recommend that show. But yeah, it's pretty crazy right now. That's mainly what I watched this week.
Nothing really for me.
Damn, y'all niggas not watching TV?
So no, I am, but it's TV just either. Mostly reruns, bro.
I ain't watching TV either. I haven't watched anything on Netflix in a while. I just been listening to podcasts. I'm a podcast ass nigga.
We all are.
Yeah. So let's get into Berserk. Berserk. Hey. Also known as Berserk the Sword Wind Romance, is the 1997 anime adaptation of the manga of the same name, written by Kentaro Miura. The show is comprised of 25 half-hour episodes, and they aired from 1997 to 1998. It was produced by Oriental Light and Magic and first aired on Nippon TV. The anime covers the manga's Black Swordsman arc, continuing through the Golden Age storylines. The anime was directed by Nahito Takashi and Kazuya Murata. It was produced by Toshio Nakatani, Toshiaki Okuno, Shukichi Kanda, and it was written by Yashiro Imagawa. So here's what the story is about. Guts, an immensely skilled mercenary, is recruited into the band of Hawks by the charismatic leader Griffith after the latter challenges Guts to a duel to win his servitude. 3 years pass, and Guts becomes a commander in the Band of Hawks army. Due to Guts' vast admiration for Griffith, Guts dedicates himself to helping Griffith obtain his dream of owning a kingdom. Despite being grateful to Griffith, Guts has an intense yearning to pursue his passions and receives warning that the Egg of the King, an artifact Griffith wears around his neck, signifies Griffith's fate of committing betrayal, bringing upon Guts' doom. Both Guts and Griffith must decide what bonds and lives they are willing to sacrifice to achieve their goals. The DC in me, PG in me, I can't say Griffith is Griffith.
Griffith, oh yeah. Griffith. Two F, no, three Fs. Griffith.
Yeah. Griffith. So, questions. Let's go with overall thoughts. And because just through this proposal, and let's start with him first. Let's go with Drew second, and then Kenny third, and then me.
This is one of my one of my top five, honestly. Berserk is awesome. It's a great storyline. It's such a build up to the most unexpected ending, and I love retro anime too. So this is I love the art style as well. Everything about it is great for me. So that's what I gotta say.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about this show in just 25 episodes. This is one of the better animes I've seen. The buildup for it is crazy. And the moments that will literally take your breath away literally took your breath away. I haven't gotten a reaction, or an anime hasn't gotten a reaction out of me in a while, but this one definitely did. And I was at work looking at the last episode. what is this? But it's crazy. It's crazy. The character development, the character development just it made you fall in love with a lot of the characters. The foreshadowing is great. The music. That background music. It's the same background music every single episode, and it fits the mood every single episode. I've never seen
that. But it's just so nice and subtle though, right?
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Like a harp playing in the background. It's awesome.
Before the last three episodes, I could literally listen to that while I go to sleep. Literally be somebody's lullaby. But the last three episodes messed it up for me. But I'm scarred from that sound now. But it's really a great anime. It got me from the first episode. I was into it. So very good choice, Justin. Very good choice.
I'm two for two.
Yeah.
Can't speak alive. All right, well, as far as me, I remember this is my second time watching it through. I remember seeing this. The reason why I started watching this anime, I watched it my junior or senior back in high school, because it was on my back when Mojo was all over YouTube and everything. I remember it came up, top 10 darkest anime or darkest anime endings or whatever. I was like, all right, let me just look at it or whatever. And then I'm watching through, I'm seeing a lot of messed up stuff as far as Neon Genesis Evangelion or Devilman Crybaby or Puella or Promised Neverland. And then this was up here. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This shit here, dark. I got to see what's up. So I started it, and then start to finish, it's just you never expect it to go the way it does until you start to see, I'll say the episode where Zod comes in, that's when stuff starts to go okay. We're not dealing with medieval era as far as we're fighting each other, trying to pillage castles and battles. We got demons and different things and all of that. Then we literally end up in hell at the end, but that's later on. And it's dark, but it's not as dark as it could have been. Cause there's some stuff they left out from the manga, as far as Donovan, Wald, and also the King's personality per se, as far as different stuff. One part I wish they did keep in the anime that would have made it a little bit this is going to get a high grade for me, but one thing that would made it perfect if they had included the Skull Knights part, because that at least clears up some discrepancies as far as like how him and Casca got out of that world and different stuff. But yeah.
So I think this anime is great. I think it's a work of art. I mean, everything we review is a work of art, but this is like, it makes you think, and the main things, you know, was like destiny, fate, and most importantly, passion, and it's another P word, I can't, purpose. Purpose is like the big theme, overall theme in this anime, and I love it because most of the animes I watch are dealing with surface level emotions. They're a little complex, you know, but we never talk about like adult shit like purpose and stuff like that. And we focus on these two men that are struggling to pursue, you know, what makes them whole and what they have to do to attain their destiny. And I really love that. I love the art style, even though sometimes I felt like it was a little too static, but I love like how it looked like it was painted in the background. The voice acting was great. Yeah, I just really like the anime. So I already answered this question, but you guys can answer it now. What did you think of the art style?
Like I always say, I love me a retro anime. I thought it was amazing. It's a lot more gory than I remember from the first time I watched it. Like just like seeing like you get a person get stabbed once and then like and the blood is everywhere. But I love the art style. I love the theme. I love the music.
Me personally, I'm not a big fan of the art style for most of the anime. It's very retro, but it came out in 97, correct?
Yep.
Okay. It came out, but for most of the show, it looked like it came out in like the 80s. So I don't know if that was, I'm assuming it was purposeful, but I didn't really like that much until the last, you know, scenes. That's when the animation like picked up for real. That's when, yeah, that's, if it was like that for most of the show, then yeah. But for me, I'm not a big fan of most of the artwork. You know, some parts, like some fight scenes were a little meh earlier, like when they were fighting, what's his name? Oh my God, what's his name? The dude that is voiced by Captain Knuckles in Dr. Eggman. No. Not Zod.
The guy in blue?
Adon? What his name is?
Oh, you mean like the general, right?
Yeah. Like when they were fighting guys like him, that was, the animation wasn't all that great, in my opinion. But some of the images.
Did y'all didn't watch the YouTube one, did y'all?
I did.
Oh, okay. Because that, it looked beautiful to me, but okay.
I personally just didn't care too much for it until the very end, but that's just me.
I mean, as far as me, it's good. Like, it has some moments where it's like really defined, and it has other moments where it's a little staticky. Like, my thing is, the main thing as far as that, when they have like certain scenes, they take it straight from the manga and just colorize it and everything, and that just add like the sound effect in the background and let it play for a couple seconds. Then after that, they get back to like some live action as far as them like fighting and everything. And then they do that at the end of every episode, because those are like, they're like, you know how it's an adaptation, but like literally they'll take that first verbatim page, put that at the end and just color it in. And at that say, well, that's the end of the episode. And I'm like, I bang with it. But it's just at some points I was like, this had some real, like, we throwing them hands. But that just, all right. But I mean, I still out of 10, I'd give it like a good 8.7. Yeah.
For real? I thought it was tough. Like, even that moment when they were inside the castle fighting Zod, and Zod had made his big transformation and everything. And
that was a dope moment. That was like, a dope moment. And, well, like, as far as animation wise, that was a dope moment. And the end, as far as like the ending animation, that that, I mean, it takes a lot. Like, what's in the detail they put in for all the transformations, the what's in the stuff changing and everything, and then after that, the man comes out and violates. But we'll get into that later. But yeah.
But yeah, there was smoke coming off their hands after that last episode. It was done like on SpongeBob. Yeah.
What do you think about Gus as a protagonist? If they exist, what are the qualities that make Gus different from typical protagonists?
One, he's a very complex character. I know we always have like a character who's like has a terrible background, sob story, but it's just like he has a reason for being the way he is completely. You could tell he has like PTSD. Like when people touch him, he's like, "Don't touch me," and everything like that. We even watch him like open up to like this group of people, and most of his life he spent it just running from people. So that's a huge character development right there. And on top of that, as a protagonist, he was great. He was just great. He was hardcore. He didn't care. Like he didn't care like when he was in any fight. Like it was just like he was ready to throw his life on the line no matter what. And I just love characters like that where they just like they live to fight and they live to almost come close to death in fight, or better yet, die in the fight. Like it's like a true warrior's, like, it's resolve. And that's what I really like. And, like, I think that his whole, yeah, it's just basically his resolve. And that's what I like about him.
Yeah, he's one of the most complex protagonists that I've seen. You know, he's also one of the most overpowered human protagonist like that has he's just no power. At first I thought he had powers or something like that, but he didn't he, or at least in the first 25 episodes he didn't, right?
No, he doesn't powers. But like only thing that's the second part, he gets like a suit that gives him like some like what's name berserker abilities, but other than that,
yeah,
getting parts is just all man strength.
Yes, exactly. So that, yeah, that alone says a lot. And you know, his literally, I remember you said, Kenny, before we watched, he was like, he has one of the most tragic
backstories.
Yeah, backstories in anime. And I was like, I don't know. Especially even when I was watching even when I was watching some of it, I was like, I still don't see it yet. But then when I saw the end, then I go back to the beginning, and then I put the piece together, I'm like, okay, yeah, it is. His life has never been good at any moment, except for like the one part where he was, where you saw the real character development, when he was like, I was running away from what I wanted, or something like that, was already in front of me. Yeah. Like, you never really know what's good until you don't have it. So stuff like that with his comrades, they was like, I want to follow you. I think that was the huge character development moment. And then from that moment on, things, you know, went south. So he's an amazing character. You know, it's just, you kind of feel bad. Like, he's one of the characters you really just feel bad. We're like, bro, you need a good day. He don't got one. So hats off to Guts, because he needs all of it.
Like, he's literally dubbed on the internet as the man literally too angry to die. As far as that, yeah. Because like, as far as, like I said, as far as character backstories, I mean, there's stuff like they alluded to some of it, but they left some of it out. Full backstory is, well, saying the reason why he got his name is because he was born from his dead mother's hanging body, and they found him in human intestines. So the person who picked him up, Gambino's wife, called him, what's the name? Since they found him in Guts, they call him Guts, which is, that's the reason why he's named Guts and everything. His wife cares for him. She dies of the plague. Gambino blames him for it. That mentally, physically abuses him. Even on one occasion, selling him to one of his people for a night for 3 pieces of silver. Has his way with a child. And after that, runs away after killing Gambino, gets captured, escapes, makes a friend, and that the friend betrays him. And then after...
All right. Don't tell everything from the manga.
I'm getting to the story. I'm getting to the story.
Okay.
What's my thing is, when he met the Band of the Hawk, he didn't want anything. He wasn't on his own way. They wanted to run the fade with him. But Exactly. He gains like a lot of, like, he opens up, he gains friends, he gains comrades, and after that, even the part where like Casca pulls him to the side and says, "Stop being reckless," and then he tells Griffith, "I'm sorry," and he said, "I really care about my men," and then even then, still, he wanted to take Zod on, not just for the fight of it, but to protect his men. And then, like, as Drew said at the end, Drew and Justice said, like, "I really care about you guys, and I really want to go beyond this. I realize this is what my goal is." I mean, yeah, it was dope. But yeah, I fuck with him.
I like Gus because when we usually see protagonists, their purpose is introduced not long after we are introduced to them. You know, like Naruto, "I want to become Hokage." Goku, "I want to become the best fighter ever." Luffy, "I want to become the pirate, the pirate king," or whatever.
The king of the pirates. So,
man, what's the difference?
So him actually like self-reflecting and doing all of this, like intrinsic thinking is, it was just very like cool to see a main character do that, to have him like sit down and try to figure out what he wanted to do with his life, this murder machine. I also like that he is basically like, to me, the Wolverine of the anime, whatever. He's just like Wolverine to me.
I know it's a comparison, but that's a really good one though.
That's a very good. That's really good analogy.
That's spot on.
That's a really good analogy.
So, he's just very cool. He's very compassionate, and who was your favorite character? I'll start off with this one. It was going to be Griffith until I saw the last episode. So I can't go with Griffith. I'll go with Casca then. Casca was annoying sometimes, but she really was a woman that... She was a woman that really didn't let her gender get in the way of her, you know, being a commander and stuff like that. Like, you would see her soft parts around Guts, and she would do irrational shit around him. I'd just be like, "See, this is why they always talk about, you know, you shouldn't be here and stuff like that." But you later on, I thought about it, and you never see that part of her in front of her troops. You never see that vulnerable side of her in front of her troops. Like, she knows what they need to see. And she was very blunt with her feelings. There was kind of like a semi love triangle between her, Guts, and Griffith, but Griffith was really not, depending on who you talk to, he wasn't really in that equation because he didn't really give a fuck about Casca, and he arguably didn't care about Guts either. Well, I don't know if he felt any type of way about Guts as like a friend and stuff like that. I know he cared about him being like his property, but I don't know if he cared about him being his friend. So she was very blunt with her feelings and stuff like that. You really don't get that in love triangles and, you know, stuff like that. And I love that she always got her shit done. She always stepped up to the plate and, you know, handled her business at the end of the day.
I feel like Griffith felt like felt like he was like his equal, but not entirely. I'm not entirely sure on it when I think about it.
I think that with Griffith and Guts, I think he just, I don't want to say he wanted to use him because it's not as simple as that. I think he saw how valuable he is to achieving his goals and getting the kingdom and things like that. So he valued him as a person, as a fighter and things of that nature. Not saying that he's a friend, because we've seen Guts mention Griffith as a friend multiple times. And we saw what Griffith literally said. He was like, "I would never say a man is my friend unless I can't remember what he said exactly, but he literally said,
"I'll never see a man as my friend if he does not have his own dream, like that's as strong as mine and everything. I can't see him as an equal or whatever."
Exactly. And Guts is somebody that helps carry on other people's dreams. So that was, he was never going to see him as a friend anyway. So I think he just saw Guts as a very useful asset to his goal.
I mean, as far as Griffith, like the main thing about him, he is anything as far as relationships. Like the main part at the end that really emphasized it when like he was before he, well, when he submitted whatever, and you saw like him walking, like him as a child walking all of these.
Wait. Are y'all answering number 5 or number 4?
Nah, I was saying we got off on a tangent, but we can get back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's number 4.
Who's up next? Whose favorite character where I can go?
You might as well go.
It's Guts. He's the homie. Man goes through it, et cetera, et cetera. If it wasn't for him, I wish they added the Skull Knight and he'll be my favorite character, but Guts. But yeah.
It's Guts for me. Like, the man is just, he's hardcore. He semi kind of reminds me of Kenpachi from Bleach, because he just lives to just fight. Yeah, like Kenny, you know, right?
I can see Kenpachi, but like the thing is, well, actually, yeah, I can see that. Like they're both eager to like just to slaughter people and fight back and forth and everything.
Yeah, but he doesn't have like that the same insanity and intensity as like Kenpachi, but he's there though.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Griffith as well until not even before the very ending, until we found out that man was throwing it back. For I was like, I don't know if that plan was. I mean, later on, I guess it did kind of work.
That moment was fucked up, but it did make me laugh. He's sitting there, like, why'd you do this
for the money?
you know that part really it gave me respect for Griffith in a weird way, and it's kind of because Griffith has all these similarities between like real conquerors like Alexander the Great and everything like that. And I was thinking about it when I was thinking about Casca, like why would they have this woman on the, well, that come off misogynistic, but why would they have this woman on the field when, you know, her and Guts have this kind of thing, or they think her and Witchicom have a thing. And, you know, that thing between, what's his name? Griffith and that old dude.
Ginnon.
It was kind of weird. Yeah, it was kind of weird. But I thought about it. Alexander the Great had his boyfriend out there on the field, you know? Julius Caesar was rumored to might have a sexual relationship with one of, like, Rome's or Italy's, like, one of the kingdoms outside of Rome. He had a good friendship with one of the kings when he was like a kid or something like that. So yeah, it just was like, he was like, it is what it is. And you know, he was selling that booty, you know? And
yeah. I guess at the time I was like, I felt a way about it. Not because of what he did. I don't care. It's more so, I'm not sure if that was for business or for pleasure until I realized towards at the end that it was all for business, because that of the actual goal that he wanted, I didn't know it was that, like he literally wanted to take over the entire world. So looking back, it was actually necessary. But what I will say, I am glad that they, since this is a medieval anime, I am glad that they kind of explored the LGBTQ community in that. Because it is accurate how it was back in that day. I mean, even now, but it's in terms of strategy and war, is accurate how it was, except for the pedophilia stuff. All that can go away.
Yeah, not only that, but also like during that time, they were like dating and like marrying within like their own family and everything to keep that bloodline going. And if y'all remember, like at the beginning, when right before like Guts killed. It was the king. It was the king's like brother, and he was like telling. Yeah, he was telling his nephew. He was telling his son. He was just like, "You're gonna marry like you know the princess, which is you know your cousin." Yeah, and in my head, I was just like, huh, "Okay." Yeah, I mean, that's what it was back then, though. You know, so they really were hit it on the nail, honestly.
So glad they took the part off for the king, but that's a different story.
Oh God.
Justin knows what I'm talking about.
Oh God. But to answer your question, my favorite character is Guts. I really want to know what was his kill count. It's like
at least 300.
I feel like
it's got to be more than 100 because he did take out 100 men in a night, and then on top of that, he's been killing folks. So
they was pressed over that. I was like, I didn't think it was that big a feat because I thought he killed like 200 before that. But they said, I mean, he did it in one sitting. Night. So yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I swear his kill count was probably like 500 in these 25 episodes. I swear.
Yeah, just off the strength that he has been killing people and taking heads off.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to know where he got those swords from. Like every time,
Like as far as that, the sword that he usually has in this one, like he just has it and everything. Like the reason why he has a big sword because like back when he was little, Gambino was like, we only carry swords for men, so he had to have that's the reason why he always kept a big sword bigger than him because he kept that from when he was a childhood. So that's the reason why he always kept a big sword. But I don't know where he got it from. And they explain in the next part like where he gets his new sword from, but not in this part. They never explain that.
They never explain it in the manga?
They just say he just carries a big ass sword. That's it.
Interesting.
Hmm.
All right, so let's get into Guts and Griffith's relationship. How is it different from other rivalries you've seen in anime?
You know, this kind of goes back to like the beginning where it's just like these characters are really complex. It's like, it's honestly even super hard to kind of answer this question when I really think about it. Because this is like this whole time Griffith never saw Guts as like a friend. It was just more so you're just very valuable to him. But at the same time, it was just like, you know, he made it seem like it was more. I was like honestly confused many times because I was just like, you know, this is pretty cool. They're like, you know, brothers, you know, almost. And then like, it's just like, then you see Guts even get confused because I think he starts to question it because he was just like, why'd you lay your life down on the line for me? You know, like if you are going to a goal, why would you like almost sacrifice yourself? But you're using this guy to get to your goal though. And then we get to a point where it's like nighttime and like Griffith is with like the princess. And like we just said, Guts hears him say, I can call a man my friend if he doesn't like support his own dreams, basically. And then like you see even Guts kind of messed up in the head after like hearing that. And he goes into battle. He's just like, I have to forget everything. I just need a fight. I just need a fight. So this is a really like complex relationship that they have going on. Like you want to say they're brothers, you want to say they're friends, you want to say they're rivals, but you don't even know like if you can call it that though. Cause it's just like so many points in the show where it's just like, what is really like going on between these two, you know? Like, how are they like really seeing each other? Or how is Griffith really viewing him? Because we do know that Guts does see him as like a friend. And even like going into like, after like the big fight and like, after like the huge fight with Zod, he wants to go and see Griffith. And he's just like, I just want to go and see my friend, you know? And well, that's what I got. It's just a complex one, honestly.
Yeah, I think that the journey kind of distracted us from what the actual goal that Griffith wanted. Because he said from the beginning and from the end, like, he was like, this still don't change. Like, you belong to me. Like, if you can beat me, then go ahead, but you can't beat me. And then the first time, he couldn't beat him. Second time, he obviously, it was no contest. So I think from that moment on, from the first time they met, you know, Griffith kind of was consistent for the most part. But I think like what you said, Justin, about the fight with Zod, that was probably the moment he kind of acted a little bit out of character, where he put his life on the line for his tool or whatever you want to call it. And so yeah, that it's a very, very complex relationship to him, to Guts, their friends, to Griffith, their half friends, half comrades, half enemies, half like whatever you want to call it. So it's a very, very interesting relationship. That's as of right now, that's all I can say about it. But yeah, it's very strange. They're way different than what I've seen from most of the anime and shonen anime stuff like that. Most of them are just friends growing together, learning together, getting strong together to fight some greater, some big evil. But this one, the big evil turned out to be in the rival. So that was very, very good writing.
As far as the relationship, I mean, it has I think either Marcus or Drew said this earlier, like it's kind of a kind of low-key love triangle between the three of them, between Guts, Casca, and Griffith. Like you have a bunch of moments where there's, it borders on the line of what's going on here. But as far as like the true in-depth thing, I feel like it was always about superiority, dominance, and ownership for Griffith, because from the point where he first met him and everything, he fought and said, yeah, I own you for years and years and years. Use him as like an asset to do this, as far as he used him to carry out assassinations, use him as like the person to go in to kill a bunch of people here, kill a bunch of people there, and realize how useful he is as a person to keep like to keep them on his side and say that, okay, if I have this person here on my side, I know for, I can win any battle, I can have all this hardship, whatever happens, this person belongs to me. This is like my most valuable piece of property. And when Guts beats Griffith and leaves, that's what shattered his psyche a little bit and let's say made him go a little bit off the deep end and do something that he probably wouldn't have never did and everything, because the whole what happened afterward is like he lost to Guts and then at that it goes to the princess's room to have sex with her and everything. And then at that happens. But he realized that he shouldn't have done this. He did this to feel some domination, to kill his like ego during that time being. He's like, all right, well, let me get some real quick. I'll be all right. And then after, you can see in the morning when he was like, the princess is asleep and he's sitting on the side of bed, he realizes what he's done, that, oh, I've really messed up. I messed up my dream and all that. And all the stuff that happens afterward. And then carries a harbor of resentment for Guts while he's being tortured, is saying that like, yeah, this is my property. My property left me. And if it wasn't for my property leaving me, I would not be here right now. So he blames Guts. And then, I mean, the rivalry, you never really see it until the end of it, really. Because Guts thinks this whole time, I mean, we boys and everything. I mean, all right, he said we might not be boys, but I mean, he respect me when I come back and everything. We the homies. And then, yeah. But it's like on his side, Guts probably thought they were friends and was trying to prove that he could be a really good friend to him. Like, I got my own dream and everything. But Guts never wasn't, Griffith never saw it that way.
So it's very interesting to me, because again, I understand this is not a shonen, it's a seinen, but their relationship felt very like so real to me, because there are some friends that you have in your life that are ahead of you in certain things, and when you get on the same level as them, they kind of, you know, switch up because they don't have that superiority over you anymore. They like to be around you because they could feel that sense of superiority. And when Guts became his own man, it was just like, damn, I can't own this man anymore. And I agree with what you were saying, Kenny. It is a relationship of, you know, dominance and stuff like that. But the difference with Griffith is that Griffith knew subconsciously that to really own someone, you can't really just say like, you know, you're mine or, you know, whatever, whatever. And you can probably force them, but to really own someone, you got to make them want to be yours. And that's what he did to Guts. He made him want to be his. He wanted everybody in that army to follow him. So he had all of it. And when he saw that Guts could break that hold on him, it just shattered him. I like how Guts just bossed up to be, you know, like his friend, the friend he had so much admiration for. Usually when we see these relationships, they're kind of like antagonistic at first, but you really don't ever get the chance to see them openly express how much they admired each other. And you saw that throughout the series. Gus would be like, you. Sometimes he'd say it, and Griffith would definitely say it, you know, they would, you know, give each other compliments and stuff like that. And that's something you don't even see in real life between, you know, men. We don't really like give each other compliments like that unless it's like a slight insult or something like that. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, like even like you could even see like moments after like a battle too, like even right before like Griffith like told Guts, I want you to kill somebody for me. And then he was like, Guts was just like, he was just like, that's funny. Why don't you just like order me, like, you know, to kill him, you know? And I was just like, huh, that's that was cool right there, you know? Or just like after like one battle, and Griffith was just like, you were crazy out there, you know? And I was just like, you just feel that, like, you feel like the energy, like what's going on for real, you know?
Yeah. So if anything, what areas do you think this anime could have used improvement?
I'm not entirely sure. There's probably something, but it's just not coming to me. But like I said, I loved it, honestly. It was great, in my opinion. But there's always a flaw in any show, but it's probably just not coming to me now. But yeah.
I would say the one of the probably I would say is the improvement was, and this is due to the fact that it's dated. The voice acting was a little goofy, at least for the dub. Some characters were actually really good, like Griffith and like the maker is really good, but a lot of side characters. What you say?
JP Goku was in there.
Yeah, Goku was definitely there. It was too hard to not see. What was his name? Ganson, was that it?
Yeah, Gas. Yeah, listen, that's his name was Gasson. But yeah.
Yeah, it was hard to see him and not hear and not think of Goku, but yeah, but his voice acting was actually fine. It was just the other, like, what's his name? The general Adan, is that his name?
You mean the blonde hair with the high top?
Yeah.
With the high top, he was so goofy. Every time he was hilarious. Laughs and everything, man.
He was hilarious. Actually, I liked it, but that don't make it good, if that makes sense. Like, I just enjoyed his voice because he's voiced Dr. Eggman and Knuckles, so it just reminded me of my childhood.
I liked it. It was just like Corcus's voice I wasn't too fond of.
Wait, he was annoying. He was
annoying. Yeah.
I thought he should have died earlier. I didn't know he's gonna last to the very last episode. I was very surprised he lasted that long. But who else? Oh no, it was just random characters. Like there was a lot of parts where some characters were just dramatic on like when they fought. Like it was ooh, like it was very dramatic. And what else happened? One part that was hilarious was when towards the very end, when the dude was like, "You can't go past these four walls. You can't get me." And then Gus literally ran through like the four walls and like stabbed me. He was like, "What?"
Oh yeah, man, I remember that. Yeah,
that part was hilarious. Like, oh my god, I enjoyed it. But the part I would approve was probably the voice acting for the side characters. For me.
Me, as far as my thing, I would want them to improve. Like, let's say I understand what they're going for as far as that. Like, either don't include the first part where it shows him in the future and just have it end like on that dark note and everything, as far as like, okay, let's say the squad's in trouble. You see all that stuff that happens and even Rickard and him and it's all that. And then we don't see, like, we just see it starts from him being a child and then all the way to here, and that's good. Or included the Skull Knight part, and that's the only part I asked, like, what's something that they could have fixed, because that can explain how Griffith got out of that dimension and how what happened to, like, because remember when, like, that little kid, his name was Rickard, he was in the camp and everything, they were getting attacked by, like, the people and all that, and we don't ever know what happens to him. It's like, he's sitting there, you just see him saying, what the hell, and you assume that they got him. But, like, he gets saved and all that, and, like I said, if they had included that one part, that would have made it dope, or either disregard the first part and just have it start where Guts is like meets Griffith and them, and that it could have ended on a dark note. Now been my only gripe with it, but yeah.
Not even think about it. I forgot about that part when he was in the river.
Yeah.
And that, what happened again?
So basically, it was like the kid of the squad. His name's Rickard. He was mm-hmm. like the band of them. They were injured, and then I know where he sees like this little bug in the sky, or whatever. He's like, oh my god, it's floating around. Then out of nowhere, they come back and everybody's getting eaten up by demons and shit. He's like, what the hell's happening here? And then we don't get any other story besides that, but we're left to assume that they all met their demise there. But yeah, like if they're gonna have like the whole, we're gonna end this on a bad note, like bad guy wins, it's all bad, Griffith does what he does, have it like that, but just don't say like, okay, Guts gets back, but don't explain anything about that. But that's my only gripe with it.
Yeah, my biggest gripe was that it didn't have a season two to connect the dots to the future and to really just go on. I really don't get a lot of storytelling anime like this, and I just that's why I loved it so much, because it had like political intrigue. It was very nuanced. It was very like, it felt like I was reading an indie comic. That's what it felt like to me.
It felt like I was reading a book to me. Like,
yeah.
Like one of those just big books that got endless pages in a good way.
Yeah, and you just can't tear your eyes away from it, because like, you know, it just keeps getting more interesting. And to make the art a little bit more dynamic. Sometimes they would pause in a scene, and you would think something is wrong with your video or something like that, because it's just awkward, you know? But yeah, that's what the changes that I would like to see.
There is a season two, but it just ruins like everything for you though. Like, you're not gonna appreciate it the way you appreciate this one. So
like, you know how mad somebody would have been if watching that in 97 and waiting like 20 years for the second part to come out?
Yeah.
Like that's to your point, Marcus. I'd have been so mad, because like, it's literally the biggest cliffhanger in probably all of anime. And like, the second part comes out in 2016. Like,
yeah. Like,
is
like,
that the movies, like, or is that an actual like season?
That's the actual anime season that picks up right after the movie. What happens in 27? What's name in 97? Just to warn you, it's trash. Like, as far as
graphic. Yeah, like I literally picked up right after I finished like the first season in the 90s version. Then I watched the season after, and I was like, bro, oh my god, they got a season two, holy, you know. And then like I watched, I was just like, bro, I was so mad, bro. Like, I was like, this was just like the biggest blowout ever. Like animation wise, storyline wise, the vibe is completely off. Like, nothing is like making sense or picking up like completely. Like, some things are, but not like, it's like there's no connectivity like between like the old and new one, really.
And see, that makes me mad, because you never get to enjoy, or if there even is a moment where Guts get his revenge or justice back from what happened, because you just literally left on it's beautiful writing, but you're left on the sourest note of all time. Like,
still looking for that right now, currently in the manga, man.
Goodness, you see that? I don't know. I don't know if I can do that, bro.
Like, the manga itself, as far as like what picks up, like, is the manga that's out currently picks up right after the 90s ends and everything, and it's good, but it's just that. It's a lot of waiting and waiting and waiting. We're still waiting. When is he going to get his due against Griffith? But yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would enjoy that.
I mean, the main part is focusing on healing Casca, but we'll get on to that. But yeah.
Yeah, she, Eric, yeah. Which she needs it.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
That part, even.
And he wasn't even right, moving. Right. So it was just like, what is he? And he kept his eyes on Guts, so the entire time. Like, yeah. He
kept eye contact, looking him dead in his eyes.
That part was like the part that it was disturbing. Like, just
like, there's been three movies since then that like adapted like this whole first part into movies, and unfortunately, they've made it a little bit more like realistic as far as graphic wise and everything. You see Griffith moving, you hear the sound effects and everything of that act, and it's just, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, but yeah.
It's so wild.
Like they, I was like, why can't they just kill her off like the rest of the dudes? But they, even monsters and stuff will literally, like,
because you heard them say she's a woman stripper down for the king, and I was like, why?
Hey, that's what they would have done back then. That's what they would have done. So I see that, but I think the anime was wrong in sexualizing her a little bit. Like, most of the time they respected her, but I think some of those ways she was portrayed sometimes, like when she was naked during that last scene, it was just unnecessary to me.
No. There was a lot of times she was actually disrespected. Like, even when, like, she was on the battlefield and everything, and then she's like, oh, you could be like, you know, the army's, you know, whore and everything. I was like, what is up with y'all, man? Like,
it's accurate though how they treated women back then, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I meant like respected from like the storyteller's point of view.
Okay.
I mean, unfortunately, he has a habit of that in the future and all that. Like when you read current manga after, like the manga after it did, yeah. Unfortunately.
So just thinking about like successful people, and the main themes of this show is like ambition and purpose and stuff like that. Do you think most, I'm not going to ask the last question because of course we're all going to say Guts, but do you think most successful people are like Griffith or Guts, despite, you know, Griffith's last act? Before he becomes like that, do you think they're more like Guts or Griffith?
Like that with that, but yeah.
Huh?
I said, unfortunately, a lot, like some rich people are like that with the last act that Griffith does. Like, I mean, you see Harvey Weinstein. You see,
oh, yeah, true.
Jeffrey, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think it's a little of both. Like, some are like Griffith who just use people and keep their eye on the prize. And some are just like, you know, I don't know what I'm really fighting for, but I'm fighting. But then they find something, you know, like Guts, you know? So I think it's a little of both. Like, Guts just works hard. Like, you know, he works hard. He puts in that work. Griffith, it's just like, it's kind of like he's destined for it, you know? But he's wild.
Yeah, I think that, to put it in the simple terms that is best to understand, I would say that the common people, the middle class, even the lower class folks are like Guts. And the upper class, the people that are like pulling strings from behind, running the actual world, Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, those are the Griffiths of the world. And the people that just use people, chew you up, spit you out, and then the people that are like Guts are just hardworking class to the day they die. So it's as simple as that. That's what I think it is, unfortunately.
I think wildly successful people are like Griffith for sure. Like, yeah. You can't have a conscience and you have to put yourself first and have that self-love and self, just the disregard for other people's lives to become that wealthy, like Jeff Bezos. I think he's kind of like that. Yeah. I don't think he's evil, but he just puts himself first, you know? Yeah. And, I think Guts is like the person, kind of like what Drew said, you know, they're upper. I think they'd be like upper middle class. They'd be upper middle class and they work hard, but they hate their life. They don't have any, they don't know what they want to do with their lives, but they're good at this one thing. So they're sticking with it and, you know. And they might have like a midlife crisis and realize, damn, I really haven't done shit with my life that I really wanted to do. You know, that's what I see in Guts. So let's get into ratings. If this is your first episode with us, we use the Naruto mission ranking system. So the highest is an S rank and the lowest is a D rank. I'll go first. I'm going to give this an S rank.
I'm also going to give it an S. Just great content, amazing storyline, complex. On top of that, the music and theme. Did y'all mess with that intro and outro? Y'all like that?
I messed with that outro.
Yeah. I didn't like the intro.
Really that nice, grunge really shit nice. At the outro. I like that.
Yeah, I actually ended up looking up that song like when I first watched the show, and I was like, this is hard, man. This is hard.
Yeah, I feel like the intro should have been closer to the outro and the theme of in the middle of the show. I feel like it should have been closer to that. But for me, I'll give it a S minus. It's beautifully written and all that. Some parts where I just didn't like watching. It's just, you know, it's more so towards the end, but there was just some issues that I had with it. It was great. Great, great, great watch. S minus.
I'll go with Drew, S minus. Only thing is, like I said, if you want to go for that part, like that ends dark, in the dark, just don't have him come back. If you want to have him come back, explain it a little bit. Because, like, imagine, like Drew said, imagine you sit here, you watch this thing, you see him come back, and you're like, well, how did he come back? And then we sit here and have to wait for the manga, et cetera, or anime, and you're like, yeah, but that's my only gripe with it.
It's funny because I was watching it on YouTube, and shout out to whoever posted on YouTube, because they are the GOAT. Yeah. All 25 episodes full, just full screen. There was no background with it, nothing like that. But I saw in the comment section on episode 22, it was when they actually saved Griffith from the prison. There was like somebody in the comments, they was like, that's it. The story's done. You don't have to watch any more episodes. Do not watch any more episodes. It is. That's it. I was like, oh God, what's about to happen?
I saw that comment too. I was like, yeah, that's it. For all, what's saying, for the veterans, we know what happened, but for all you new guys, this is the end episode. They save Griffith. They live happy after he gets his kid, et cetera, et cetera. That's good. Until we go to hell. But yeah.
that part was just crazy. Like, I feel like we didn't talk about that last part enough, but it's just everything in it was mind blowing. It was literally a totally different anime.
It turned to 180 out of nowhere.
Yeah, the fact that we're like, we're talking around it so much and like not really emphasizing, it's going to make people want to watch it even more. Be like, what are they talking about, man? And then they watch the whole thing and be like, oh. Like, it's wild. It's wild, for real.
It's like a car accident. Like, it's disgusting. It's bad, but you don't want to, like, you still kind of want to drive and look at it and like start rubbernecking a little bit. Like, you still want to look.
It's like whatever you think a nightmare would be in an anime thing, like it's literally that. That's the reason why we can get into it, but at the same time, it's not one of the things you would rather avoid talking about in death and death.
Does Zod show up later in the series?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. But in a weird way.
He was supposed to show up when like Guts and them came back. Well, before he was supposed to show up when Guts and them go into the dimension. He was also supposed to show up to fight another character too. But yeah.
So wait, Marcus, are you gonna watch the second series?
Oh no, I might read the manga. I thought you were reading it.
Okay, because basically
I read the first volume.
Yeah. Because
basically Zod is just like he's Griffith's servant at that point. That's all.
Yeah.
He's Griffith's servant.
Yeah, he becomes Griffith's servant in the second part.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Spoiler.
Griffith comes back to Earth and everything through a whole bunch of stuff I'm not going to get into because it'll take me another 20 minutes and we got that kind of time. But he comes back to Earth, becomes still rebuilding my kingdom and makes a whole kingdom of demons, like literally. And people say, well, we can provide him because he's the white knight and everything. He looks so innocent. He's the king and all that. So it doesn't matter what he has around him, even though he's the devil himself. But and yeah,
I have a question. Do y'all think it was unavoidable for him to kill the queen? Do you think he could have did it another way? Because I think as soon as he did that, that's when things went to shit.
I mean, Shardy was part of it, unfortunately, so she had to go. And my thing is, he had the other dude like sit here. He had him so shook off. Like, my thing is, Griffith wanted to act like he had the Byakugan or Sharingan so bad with his eyes when he looked at people. Like, he's sitting there. Wide open is like, yeah, I know, bro. I know.
Yeah, that part
he kind of did that throughout the show, kind of. Like, right before he got Guts to kill that the king's brother in the joint. He just hit him with that dead stare, and I was just like, man, he got you in his Mangekyo, man.
And that part reminded you throughout the show that this man is not normal. Like, it was just foreshadowed throughout the whole part. It's just little parts. He like like what you said, him just giving somebody the death stares, like, this man's not trying to be a normal king.
Yeah. Griffith was very intelligent, and he knows, like, one of the most, like, important lessons ever. Destroy your enemies entirely. And that's what Gus and Casca really overlooked with that Don dude or whatever. They let that nigga, like, Gus could have killed him a while back. Yeah, but when you dealing with the enemy, you don't, you know, you don't step off their neck. You know,
Put them in the dirt.
Yeah.
Most definitely. No, Griffith was really smart. Like, I remember he was inside the library, and then Gus came in there. He was like, "You're reading?" He was just like, "You know, there is more to me than just, like, in the battle. You have to be a little bit more." And I was like, this man, like, you know there's something up, especially with that. These two are really polar opposites when you think about it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up the show. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Blurs. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at The Blurs Word, and on our Facebook page called The Blurs. And also feel free to follow us on YouTube at The Blurs Word. It's The Blurs on YouTube. And like and comment on our videos and the podcast. And see you guys next time.